The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
George Brockler, right back with you here on 710 KNUS. Thank you to the texters who have done the hard and heavy lifting for me, the math on Christine McVie, who passed away yesterday, one of the founding members of Fleetwood Mac. Undeniably distinctive voice. I mean, there are a lot of voices you can hear today where you could guess, you know, is it Dua Lipa? Is it Taylor Swift? Is it any that you could get with it? Not with Christine McVie. She had such a distinctive voice. Yeah, yeah. This is it. This is Christine McVie. Billy's telling me, "Show Me a Smile," 1971. And by the way, thanks to the texters who've corrected me, she was 79 years old when she passed away. Listen to this. Yeah, you can't have grown up in or around that era when they were huge, 70s and 80s. And I know they're still doing stuff after that, but those were the heyday years. And not know that voice pretty well. Rumors, again, one of the undeniable phenomenal albums that's out there. And that was the pairing of the McVies with not only Fleetwood Mac, or with Mick Fleetwood, but also with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham. That was just a fantastic album. If you have not listened to that recently, put that on as you drive around the car today. It's worth it, man. There'll be so many things you'll find yourself singing along if you've ever heard it. If not, you are probably from the USSR. You're probably one of the families that they've planted here for some future coup, and I understand that. Maybe that's the litmus test, Fleetwood Mac. Now, listen. Somebody just texted in. Fran, I'm so sorry that they weren't big fans of Fleetwood Mac. Fran, it tells me that you may have been tortured as a child, and I'm sorry. I'm not poking fun at that, but that's really the only way you can come to that conclusion. What's that? Who hurt her and why is Billy's question. I think that's great. Listen, I want to get to this other stuff as the texts keep pouring in. Please, the weather thing is behind us for today. We will revisit it tomorrow. I promise. No more weather. Okay, maybe a little bit more, but not right now. So here's what happens. Yesterday, we head on, and we do this all the time. We have KBB, Christy Burton Brown, and Priscilla Ron. Priscilla Ron comes into the studio. She's always bright and bubbly. She always brings something nice. If it's not a candle, it's a Christmas card. And Christy Burton Brown usually calls us on a phone. And again, you've heard this description before. I presume she's at a kitchen table with a lit cigarette and a cup full of half coffee, half some kind of liqueur, in a robe with some sort of fluffy slippers on. Maybe they have a blood stain on them. I don't know, but that's just sort of how I picture it. She calls in. And so they did that yesterday, and we had a conversation about the party. There were things going on, some of them yesterday and some of them today. So the thing yesterday was, you'll remember there was a rally slash what I thought protest. But then someone called in, Casper, our friend Casper Stockham, called in and said, no, it's not a protest. It's not a rally. It's a press conference. That doesn't turn out to be very accurate. I don't think it. And here's why I say that. I will play sound for you from this thing. And by the way, you don't have to rely upon our cuts from it. It is all posted on Facebook. Aaron Wood's page is a great place to go. That's where I watched it. That's where Billy watched it. And that apparently is where Nine News watched it, too, because this was the lead story for next.
Let's start out with a question. Would Colorado be better off with two functional, competitive political parties? Would that be healthier for the state? because the Colorado Republican Party is not competitive. And after historic blowouts on election night, a far-right faction launched an effort today to take over party leadership. They did so from the parking lot of a boot barn in Greenwood Village. Here's Steve Stager.
There was one man, his name was Shama.
A call for biblical courage outside a Western Wear outfitter.
Shama stood his ground in that field of beans, just like we were standing here together in this parking lot outside a boot barn.
This group of far-right conservatives stood as close to the state Republican Party headquarters as they were legally allowed.
We have a Republican Party that is full of whores.
Calling for change. Shouting.
What? Really?
They have not held to the Republican platform, which is conservative. They've not held to the U.S. Constitution. And then you wonder why these asswipes can't win a race. Mm.
The Save Colorado Project's message is made up of tropes we've become accustomed to.
There is fraud in our elections.
I call that a cabal.
We have the machines. They have to go.
This one was new.
Get Christy Burton, the liar, out. She's against our country, she's against Republican politics, and she hates America.
Who?
We were told Christy Burton Brown, the leader of the state Republican Party, wasn't available to talk to us today. She was available to talk to a conservative radio host this morning.
That's
saying
me.
She'd make a decision about her future as leader December.
Hey, we have free speech here. People can express whatever they want to.
The group also calling for closed primary.
It is up to Republicans to pick Republican candidates. What the hell were we thinking to allow Democrats to pick our candidate?
Oops.
That's not how open primaries work. Republican and independent voters pick the GOP candidates. Nine News Republican analyst Kelly Maher says a closed primary wouldn't fix the GOP's problem.
If you can't compete in an open primary, how is anybody going to expect that you can compete in an open actual general election? These people are saying that they want to take their ball and go home, and what they're not realizing is there is no ball.
Yikes.
Now, despite Colorado voters neutering the Republican Party, this far-right group is calling on its members to get involved in local races and precinct politics to take the leadership of the state party back. Elections for state party leadership coming up in March, and that should be something to watch.
You know, Kelly Maher brought up something to you that you and I had actually talked about earlier in the day, that there's going to be like a four-year window where Colorado Republicans can't win much back anyway because stuff is not on the ballot. So maybe this is an opportune time to let that faction of the party run the show. And I mean, either they're going to win and that'll show the establishment, or they'll get smoked like brisket and then everybody will know that that doesn't really work here.
I mean, yeah, the thought is it's easy to stand on the other side and say, hey, the way this is working now isn't working for the rest of us. You guys try to run it for a little while and let's see what happens. That may either elevate that faction of the party or it may kind of push them out.
Yeah. Who in the world wants to run that party so that people can stand in the boot barn parking lot and scream that you're a blankety blank and everything else?
They encouraged people after they were done to
go
inside, grab something for the holidays from
the boot barn. All right. One-stop shopping. Steve, thank you.
Oh, that's painful. And listen, I get it. They're not preaching to the Republican choir. In fact, my guess is there's only a handful of registered Republicans who watch the show. I appreciate that, okay? But there is something telling about that. There is something about what took place yesterday. And you'll recall when I talked with Casper and even when I talked with Priscilla, I said, hey, how are we going to get to unity? Is it this about unity or is this about a purge? And Casper assured me, this was not a protest, it was not a rally, it was a press conference, and it would be about unity. Did you hear anything so far? And by the way, we have more sound that told you it was unity. Listen, to help us have this conversation right now, a voice you heard on that next segment, Kelly Maher. Kelly, thank you for joining us from a farm/ranch somewhere in Colorado.
Thanks for having me, George.
Good morning. Now, you obviously prepared for your interview with the Nine News folks, and you are a political analyst for them. You're on there all the time. In fact, you're the best part of watching that channel.
Thank you.
You know that already, though. I've told you that before, usually over alcohol, but you get it. When you looked at what took place in front of the headquarters, what are you seeing? Now, you had a very clever line. It made me laugh out loud and actually say, ouch, when you said there is no ball to take home. What's going on here with our party?
You know, I mean, this is the question that I'm getting asked quite a bit, right? Which is, how much oxygen does this group actually have?
Good question.
What are implications of it? And look, I mean, the way that the party is structured right now, the way that precinct committee people then move up to the county level, it's entirely possible that the people who are the most exercised are going to be the ones who then, you know, rise up. And people like you and me are just going to get disenfranchised and tired and are just going to kind of say, well, you know what? Good luck. Have fun. Do it yourself. See how it works out. Peace. Right? Anil Mathai, who is a dude who was the chairman of the Adams County Republican Party.
Yeah,
where
for a
I
while.
Live.
Yeah, for a while.
I live in Adams County. And he was standing up there calling me and Christy Burton Brown and many people like us literally whores.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, yeah. You left out, and I don't know if this has to be beeped. Billy, does the FCC say you can't say ass wipes on the radio? Because he did say that about.
We can do it. We can say it.
Okay, because.
Am I going to show up to caucus with some dude screaming at me, calling me a whore? Like, no, George, I'm not interested in this. I'm no longer interested in fighting these types of fights. And, you know, it's not worth it to me or people like me, right? And I've been doing this literally for 20 years.
I know. If we were back in college, I would go just for that moment. But now you're right. Now, you know, I would go to almost any setting to hear people scream at me whore or other names because, you know, in college. But you're right right now. But I would say this, Kelly, they don't want you to go to the assembly. What they're really trying to do is to draw in the circle of people that will make the decisions about who the nominees will be. And then and only then will they convince you with their powers of persuasion to support them in the general.
Yeah, well, you know what? Good luck, I guess, is the answer to that. It's just like, it's just fine. Good. Good luck. Good luck with that. I hope you're successful and I'm wrong, that the unaffiliated voters, which are the ever-growing group in Colorado, are going to just really respond to being screamed at and called whores, and maybe that's the thing that's finally going to make them vote for you. Good luck, right? I don't know what else to say to that.
Kelly, let me take up their cause, though, in this way. And this is something that was repeated a lot yesterday. And that was, whatever we're doing now clearly ain't working, right? Like, we got crushed by historic proportions. Isn't it fair to blame the people calling the shots for that failure?
Yeah. I think absolutely. And Christy said it yesterday on Stephen Tubbs' show, right, which is people can criticize and people can say this is America where people can say what they want. And the thing is, look, Anil was the state partner, was the Adams County chair, right? Anil was the chairman of the Adams County Party. And how did he do on fundraising and on candidate recruitment and on turnout and on votes? I mean, he was higher up in the official party than either you or me during our decline. So I as much as I appreciate this dude standing up and using ad hominems, you know, okay, well then my response is just like, good luck, do it. And I've been saying for a long time, George, and I know you've heard me talk about this, the incentive structure is flawed here, right? Like the way that the people who do politics professionally are either like the structure or the compensation is really difficult for particularly Republicans, because that which makes the country great, which is entrepreneurialism and individuality, is great in mass for a country. Really bad when you're talking about politics. And what I would argue is that which is very bad for the country, like collectivism and groupthink, actually works exceptionally well in politics. And that's why you see a professionalized class of Democrats who are not always like out there fighting one another, right?
Yeah.
And so they're better at pulling together, and we're much better at holding screaming rallies, calling each other whores. And
that's a good point.
Fundamentally, until we can figure out how to use our individuality and our entrepreneurialism to have the cream rise to the top in terms of actual political outcomes, we're going to continue to struggle with this. But I would posit that the way they went about it yesterday is exactly the opposite of the way to make effective change. But you know what? Good luck. Have at it, Anil. I will not be a tacist, and you can just have the Adams County party back, scream at everybody, call them whores, let me know how that works out in the general election.
Well, there is part of me, Kelly, that, like you, feels like, okay, all right, take it all. Have it all. Pick whoever you want. Pick Tina Peters during the trial to be the chairman of the party. Pick whoever you want to run the show and be your candidates, and then let's see what happens. And honestly, if you pull off victories, I'll be happy to come right back to this microphone and say, my dear God, was I wrong? I couldn't have been more wrong. I'm so sorry. But I don't see our state like that.
Well, yeah, there you go. I mean, I'll eat crow with you, man. I don't know. At some point, we cannot have lost more and harder than we did, right? And so,
and that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, exactly, Kelly, and it's because you and your ilk, and I don't know, frankly, if it's pronounced whore or hooer. Is it? Whore. I can't remember. Is it hooer?
Look, I guess I've migrated from a rhino to a whore, so whatever. I read a few. I've already seen kind of the wingers versus the rhinos, and you know, everybody's yelling at one another. And I don't really necessarily see myself in either camp, but I do know that what I saw yesterday was just gross. So I'm not that. And frankly, I'm fairly sure, and like, maybe I'm wrong, right? But I'm fairly sure that most of the unaffiliated voters, who are the people who we need to convince in order to ever win anything again, saw that display yesterday and were like, well, not one of those people, right?
The logic of what is being purported here is this is our path to victory has to include an analysis of the unaffiliated who voted in this last election. And it either has to be this, and that is, our candidates were not Trumpy conservative enough, so those unaffiliateds then turned and voted for Bennett and Polis and the others, or, which is crazy, or they sat out the election. And so they have to believe that there is an exceedingly high number of voters out there, enough to eclipse the 20% deficit that marks what happened at the governor's race and the 10% on all the other races, that those people just sat on their ballots because they're like, well, neither of these candidates is conservative enough for me. There is not a single metric in the history of our state that suggests that either of those things are true.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Then, and therein lies the problem, right? Which is that you cannot build a coalition by subtraction and division. I mean, look, they love to, like, pound on, quote, founding principles, which, like, ironically are so anti-principles on so many of these things. But, like, the other thing that the founders understood that I think many of the people who were screaming yesterday didn't understand, George, is that the founders understood the principle of persuasion, right? They understood that in order to be able to create this beautiful experiment that we call this country that we love, they had to convince other people that it was the correct path, right? And they did not do it all at the barrel of a musket. And ultimately, the power of persuasion in politics in many of these races is 50% plus one, right, in a binary. And unless you can get that 50% to vote for you, you are relegated to the wilderness.
Well, Well, it's 50% or a plurality in our system because we don't have the runoff or whatever. But whatever it is, you've got to end up with more votes than anybody else on the ballot.
Yep. Well, it's in a binary. I mean, I guess in Allegan State, for instance, that's a whole different conversation. But I mean, ultimately, we're not – what I saw yesterday, in my opinion, isn't persuading anybody. I'm happy to eat crow if this somehow ends up working out.
Me too.
But like, dude, George, I've got a 3- and 5-year-old little kid, right? I have been doing this not because I'm rich, not because I've ever gotten rich off of it for 20 years, because I believe in it. I believe that the Republican Party and entrepreneurialism and freedom and free market are beautiful. And I believe that individuals are amazing and that their rights should be protected. I got into this because I believed in something. I didn't sign up as a mom of 2 little kids to be screamed at by the former chairman of my county and called a whore. I didn't sign up for it. And if I would have told my 15-year-old self that this would be the eventuality of where we would sit, I don't think I would have signed up for this.
Look, you make a great point in this about the founders. I've read through a lot of the Federalists. I can't say I've read all of it. I don't ever remember coming across the argument you are whores and asswipes if you don't support a centralized bank or if you don't support. I don't remember those ad hominem attacks inside the Federalists. You are a traitor. You are. I mean, these were words used yesterday. I mean, we've got clips, Kelly, but there are people standing in the back of that truck with the flag next to them saying we are at war. And they're not talking about with the Dems. They're not talking about the Russians or the Chinese. They're talking about you and me and other Republicans. OMG.
I can only speak for myself, George, and like I wave the white flag. Like take it. This is not worth it. I will find good work to do well elsewhere. Because I'm out looking, right? I am looking. And it's hard when you're, by the way, almost 40 years old to try.
Did you just say almost 40?
Oh, gosh.
Look, I want to take a quick segue away from where you're going, but screw you, Kelly Maher. Now go ahead. Go back to make your point.
Oh, you're the best, George. But look, I mean, I'm almost 40. I will figure out how to pivot to the next thing, how to do good work well. I will continue in my life to believe that the idea that men and women are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, is one of the most revolutionary ideas over the course of mankind. And I can love all of that without being screamed at and called a whore.
Kelly, I'll say that I don't want you to leave the cause because we need you. And if it's going to be, hey, I need to take a knee because of this craziness, I hold out hope that what took place yesterday was not the voice of the majority of the party. You don't believe that. I don't believe that. It's the voice of the squeakiest wheels within the party. I get that. But even if we circled the wagons and said that the only people that get to vote for nominees for Republican Party are Republicans, even if we made that incredibly tactically deficient decision, it will not turn out the way they want. The only way they get the candidates they want is if they alone are the ones making the decision. And so if the answer is we don't even want to have a Republican-only primary, we want to have an Assembly-only primary, you have just made our party, in for the foreseeable future, in my opinion, in this state, because we ain't Ohio, Florida, or Texas. In this state, we are a minority party moving forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. And look, here is the larger issue in question, which is that, like, look, this is the structure. This is the caucus structure that we're dealing with. And you have people like me who, if this wasn't the thing that I have done for 20 years, and loved for 20 years with 3- and 5-year-old little kids. Am I going to be energized enough to show up at caucus and be my precinct committee person if I'm not super involved.
The question is just like who
exactly is it that we're representing here? So I'm 100% interested in looking at some of these structures, looking at the way that we do elections, looking at the way that we do the selection of candidates. I'm open to having all of those conversations and thinking about what is a strategic and smart way to nominate people and to move people forward.
I agree.
I mean, ultimately, George, right now we're sitting with the structure we have.
I know.
And it favors
it's not
those are the angriest. And I'm not fair.
Kelly Maher from apparently one rhino whore to another. Thank you for joining us right here on 710 KNUS this morning. You also do something pretty awesome that has nothing to do with politics. And it's not a blog. It's called a, what do you call that? Substack something?
Actually, Substack is one of the things. I really love it. It's a way to crowdfund like longer format writing and independent journalism. Barry Weiss very famously went from the New York Times to Substack. She has a great one. Mine is about goats and chickens and urban farming. It's my Substack.
Can you give us that again? I want people to be able to go out there and check out your stuff.
Yeah, it's called Real Best Life. And it's got, look, I'm a mom of toddlers, right? So it's got some real life in it, but it
love
is it. My real best life. It is my Substack, and I'm on Twitter at OKMaher, M-A-H-E-R, and my Substack's on the top of that. But hopefully my next thing, George, is that I won't have to do politics anymore, and I can just be a goat writer.
Yeah, or podcaster. We'll have to talk more about that off air. Kelly Maher, one of my favorites. She should be one of yours, too. One of the sane voices out there on 9 News when it comes to politics and stuff. It was great to hear you on here. We'll have you on again, Kelly, if you're willing to do it.
Anytime.
Thanks. Hey, get back to the goats. That is Kelly Maher. She is a friend. She is also a longtime activist on behalf of Republican stuff and conservative stuff for decades now. She said she was under 40. It really bothers me. Nonetheless, when we come back, we'll get to the phone calls, 303-696-1971, and the texts that are pouring in here. You keep them coming. What are you hearing there? And what did you think about yesterday? Were they right? Were they wrong? Is it the direction we need to go? George Brockler, 710 KNUS. Billy, expert all things music, tells me this is 1972 Spare Me a Little of Your Love by Christine McVie. She passed away yesterday, and the texters tell me at age 79. Big fan, big loss, but the good news about a recording artist is we never really lose their voice. It may not create anything new, but we got everything they did in the past, and we'll keep playing it throughout the day. George Brockler with you here on The George Show. My great thanks to Kelly Maher, friend, also legal analyst, for 9 News, maybe the only Republican they allow in the building at this point. She's also been a big-time activist behind the scenes for 20 years advancing the cause, and it sounds to me like she's ready to give up. She used words like raise the white flag and clearly offended by what took place yesterday. I didn't even get a chance to ask her about some of the commentary that came out of some of these folks' mouths on this thing. And go to the Facebook video, the whole thing, on Aaron Wood's Facebook page. And, I mean, there's a moment where one of the speakers derides KBB for her smile and suggests that it's the product of plastic surgery and all that. I mean, mocking, physical mocking stuff. Very, and we'll play this one too. But that same person ends up going on to talk about doing physical violence to one of the candidates. This is one of the clips from this event, and the reason I share it with you is, remember, this comes on the heels of really a bloodletting that took place at the polls. I get it, and I get the desire to want to say, listen, when you have this kind of a season, you want to change out the coach. I'm right there. I've been that way with the Broncos and Hackett now since game five, really, when you could see the writing on the wall where we were going, when we couldn't figure out how to get into the end zone more than once every other game. So I understand that. That's a discussion worth having, and you can even be animated about it. But the terms that are being used here are terms of war. That's not me saying it. That's these motivated GOPers saying it.
And I stand here before you today to declare with you that we are at war. The good news is we're winning, but we're not winning without casualties. All war has casualties.
We're at war. And if you watch the video, it is crystal clear. She's not talking about war with the progressives, war with the lefties, war with the Democrats, but war with Republicans who aren't on board with their version of Republicanism. The emotion and the words that are used, that's not the only one. There is a series of words, and I wish I had written them all down. They talk about treachery repeatedly. Traitors. Casualties that you heard in that thing. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on. Tina Peters makes an appearance. She shows up in the back of the truck, and this is going to come as a shock to many of you. Indicated that the election was stolen, that there was fraud in our election, that that's the reason we lost this last time by such a wide margin, I presume. Not just that, but that we lost at all. It was the product of that. But there were other speakers who took up this cause, not just we're at war, but people who also want to suggest that fraud was afoot in this last midterm election, despite the outcome of that election.
Now, there is a bright spot. There's a couple of bright spots here. The first bright spot is that Park County is and remains red. Praise God. Our second bright spot is that in spite of all of the efforts of Dick and Deb Elsner, of Monica Jones, we got our Republican County Commissioner. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hang on one sec before we get there. Dick Elsner was the guy that KBB referenced yesterday. I asked her about it. He was the guy that was the state party treasurer. He's a county commissioner in Park County. And he had come out and endorsed, contrary to the bylaws of the Republican Party, endorsed a Democrat commissioner. That's jacked up. Should have been removed for that. And in fact, he was. KBB picks up the phone, calls him for his resignation. He gives it willingly. They move on. But that was that reference. There's more.
Dave Whistle, Commissioner Dave Whistle.
Thank you, Michelle. Welcome, Colorado, to this wonderful day. Long story short, our regime of Republicans in name only, I just call them traitors.
Traitors
went from openly supporting outside the bylaws my opponent, who we took out in the primary, Mr. Rubber Stamp. And after that point, not only did I had to fight an organized, well-funded Democrat party for the first time in my 44 years in Park County, the Democrats ran a full slate at the county courthouse level. We were able to win every seat in spite of the efforts of the Democrats and the Republicans in Park County joining forces together.
How did you do that in an environment of election fraud? How is it that the election fraudsters allowed you to win a primary where they're counting the same votes with the same machines? How did Republicans maintain control of every seat in Park County if fraud is afoot? I mean, either they're the worst fraudsters on the planet Earth, or maybe the representation in Park County is legit because it truly represents the leanings of the people in Park County. Park County is a Republican county. It should shock no one that Republicans dominate the elected offices that are out there. Maybe that's what happened. Because you can't say there's election fraud in Park County and, by the way, we won everything and I defeated even the Republicans the Democrats wanted. That doesn't make a lot of sense. And these are good people. I'm not telling you there's something wrong with them. I'm telling you there's something wrong with the conclusions that they're drawing here. We got a lot more sound. Some of the things here, I don't know. Do we have? Was there anything we found that would have passed FCC muster from a nil? Not yet. We're still working on that. There's got to be some of the this and that. You heard some of it in that clip from Next, which, by the way, other than Billy finding it, I wouldn't have known about it. Someone else texted me and said we made it onto that station. Folks, do you agree with these people? The 100-ish, as it was described to me, the 100-ish people that showed up to that parking lot nearby the GOP headquarters to say what they've said, do you agree with them? Do you agree with the tactics, the emotion that they're displaying, their word choice? Now, Rich Wyatt was out there. I know Rich from time to time listens to this show, probably when he's having trouble sleeping like most of you. Rich, call in and justify what took place out there. Tell us what happened and tell us why it was okay. Tina Peters, I think, is someone that people think may end up running for party chair. Rich may end up running for party chair. I don't know. I've reached out to Casper, who has been texting with me this morning, and said, hey, call in, man. Call in here and let's have this conversation. We're going to keep this thing going because this is one of those moments. I don't know how many we get like this where everything is so fresh. There's an executive committee Zoom thing tonight at 6 o'clock. I plan on being there for that. But this party right now is either molting or purging or something. But this feels far less like a call for unity than a call for purity. That's what it feels like to me. 303-696-1971. Your calls, your texts, more sound from this when we come back. It's George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. You'll see things in a different way. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Man, I love me some Christine McVie. Rest in peace, Godspeed to you, from Fleetwood Mac Rumors. That is a live version of Don't Stop. The only thing that gives me any pause about throwing my arms around that song is that the Clintons used it in 92. Do you remember that? That was their thing coming out of the Democratic convention. And I just thought, please don't do that to Fleetwood Mac. Come on. But it happened. Nonetheless, great radio right here is made by folks who call in, text, and share their views. And especially when they get reference from the day before and the day after. Joining us right now, our friend Casper Stockham. Casper, you were there. I saw you on the video. We don't have any clips of anything you said, largely because
I didn't
you were, well, that, and you were, in my opinion, the most level-headed, sane person there. And the things that you said, consistent with what you said on the show yesterday, were, we need outreach. We need training. These are great faults. And your accusations against the leadership were couched in those terms. We didn't do enough of this. These folks weren't invested. All of that stuff, I totally get. I might even agree with you to some extent on that stuff. But you're the only voice like that. What happened yesterday, and how would you describe it?
So I would, if the event would happen again, I would go, because what I'm saying needs to be heard by everybody. It was not a unity event. It was never advertised as a unity press conference. Nobody said that. I believe in unity. In fact, I may have been the only one that said that we need to unify. People were venting and letting off steam, and I don't agree with a lot of the words used by a lot of the folks yesterday, but they are their individual. You know, they don't speak for me. I speak for me.
Casper, when you use the term press conference, I think people have, mm-hmm. and me too, I have a certain image in your mind of folks that are coming forward to give information, or this is what we're doing and here's why we're doing it. what you've described and what I saw in that video does feel much more like a rally. Maybe we don't have to call it protest because that has, although it is a protest, but it felt much more like mm-hmm. a rally. Like this wasn't people giving information. Yeah, this was a some sort of a call to action based on accusations that included terms, and I appreciate you saying this, that were outrageous, in some cases outrageous. Calling people with whom you disagree in the party whores? I mean, is Ronald Reagan, how long's he been in the ground now that we've forgotten the 11th commandment? This isn't you just won't speak ill of them. It's they've declared war against them.
And there were some people that used that phrase. Again, I would have never used a lot of those phrases. But, you know, people are their own person, you know, and we didn't get together and say, okay, so you say war and I'll say whore, you know, what? It wasn't like a gathering like that. It was just like I had things I was going to say, and some of the speakers, I didn't know who they were. You know, I've never met a lot of them before. But, you know, there was like over 15 speakers, I think.
Yeah, there was a lot. And, I lost count, but there was a lot. Hour and a half, man. That thing went for an hour and a half.
Exactly. And the ones, of course, that are getting the most press are the ones that are the most controversial, which I totally understand. But people are pissed off, just like we're pissed off every 2 years. We get pissed off. Now, this is the first time that we've been very vocal about it. You know, we've kind of been vocal in closed rooms about it, but this is the first time it's been publicly vocal to me. And, you know, people are just upset. Now, the trick is, how do we come together at the end of the day?
After language like that. It's a great question, Casper. How is it after language like that, unless it's decried by people who think otherwise, unless, like even you, Kat, I'm not asking you to do it here, but unless folks like you and the other party insiders or even outsiders who wanted to, unless they decry that kind of language, how in the world can you ever now reach out to somebody against whom you've declared war and called a whore and then say, hey, let's all row the same direction? How do you do that?
Well, I don't know how anybody else would do it. I would do it the same way I've been doing it for 10 years. I've had quote unquote political enemies that have spent money against me, have voted against me, and have done all kinds of things against me, but I can still work with them because this is politics. if Kamala Harris can call Joe Biden a racist from the debate stage and then he makes her VP,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I can work with anybody just because they voted against me or even spent money against me if we're working towards a common goal. And that's what needs to happen.
What is that common goal?
Winning.
Okay. If it's just winning, I think that's a message that is very different than what was discussed in the back of that truck yesterday. You talked about how to win. No. And that's admitted. And folks that go out there and go to Aaron Wood's Facebook page, people have been texting in, how do I see this video? And you'll see that Casper is up there really talking about how we need to win and why we haven't won and all that other stuff. I get all that stuff. But when you have folks that are standing up there talking more about purity issues than victory issues, as if purity will lead to victory, it concerns me that folks like Kelly Maher, who is a lifetime Republican and someone who I know you know has been working behind the scenes forever to advance the cause of Republicans, whoever the hell the Republicans are, by the way, when she says, I'm waving the white flag. I'm done here. I will not be called a whore and then be asked to support you. And Casper, can you hang on for a little bit? I want to keep this conversation going.
Sure.
Thanks, buddy. Hey, Casper, Brian, everybody else on hold. I promise we'll get to you. This is an important conversation the day after and the day before an executive committee call that we have at 6 o'clock here. We're either going to fix ourselves or we're going to kill ourselves. 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.